Radio Lora colorida y diversa.
No comercial.
Comunitaria.
Intercultural.
Alternativa.
Informa desde una perspectiva transfeminista y disidente.
Por eso, que ninguna hora en Lora suena como la otra.
Es donde vuelan nuestras voces. Un puente de comunicación migrante y político.
Por el aire, acompañando tu día a día.
Radio Lora 97.5 MHz. Sonora, dinámica y activa.
I sat within the barley green, I sat me with my true love. My sad heart strove the two between, the old love and the new love. The old for her, the new that made me think all island while soft the wind blew down the glade and shook the golden barley. 'Twas hard the woeful words to frame, to break the ties that bound us, and harder still to bear the shame of foreign chains around us. And so I said, the mountain glen I'll meet at morning early, and I'll join the bold united men while soft winds shook the barley. 'Twas said I kissed away her tears, my fond arm round her flinging, when a form and shuffler stung our ears from out the wild woods ringing. A bullet pierced my true love's side in life's young spring so early, and on my breast in blood she died while soft winds shook the barley. But blood for blood, without remorse, I've tamatoot her tallow. I've lain my true love's clay-like corpse, where I'll fall soon must follow. Around her grave I've wandered drear, in night and morning early, with breaking heart when near I hear the wind that shakes the barley.
Rebel girl, I'll leave you to it. Hey, 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 hier spricht Doppel-U und ihr hört Radio Lora 97,5. Check it out.
Megahertz, du los ich Radio Lora.
Okay.
And welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM, FM HD1, Galveston 89.5 FM, and Huntsville 91.9 FM. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. During this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1136, we will bring you the latest Electronic Intifada newscast, a summary of the latest developments in Gaza and Lebanon. I will also air part one of Professor Heidi Morrison's talk at the University of Houston titled The Unending War on Palestinian Children. And I will also air a series of short poems by Dr. Fadi Jouda from his various award-winning collections. But before I do that, I'd like to ask for your support and contributions to KPFT, this unique commercial-free Houston's community station, because KPFT is currently in fund drive, and that is a great opportunity to upgrade your listenership to listener sponsor and become a member of the KPFT family. KPFT is mainly financed by listeners like you, and it does not rely on the corporate world to operate. So please give us a call right now at 713-526-5738 and make that tax-deductible contribution to support your community radio station. That's 713-526-5738. You can also make a pledge online at kpft.org. Join us in keeping the airwaves alive. Your support during this fund drive ensures that KPFT remains a vibrant hub of local voices and diverse perspectives, just like this program, Arab Voices, that has been on KPFT for over 22 years. Yes, we started in April 2002, coming to you weekly with over 1,000 expert guests appearing on this program from across the world. So it's crucial to continue your support to your community radio station, KPFT 90.1 FM. Every dollar you contribute goes directly towards sustaining independent journalism, empowering grassroots initiatives, and fostering a sense of belonging in our community. Together, we can make a difference through the power of community radio. 713-526-5738 is the number to call right now and support your community radio station. And again, you can do it online safely and securely at kpft.org. Arab Voices, if you're not familiar with it, is an award-winning independent radio talk show that aims at bringing the truth, facts, and realities to the wide and diverse range of listeners. It debunks many of the stereotypes, myths, and false information disseminated by certain media outlets, some politicians, and others. There is more information about Arab Voices and even a list of all guests that appeared on this program on our website, arabvoices.net. There is also an archive section online for listening on demand to any of the previous shows. So if you appreciate what the station has been doing, I ask you to support it and keep Arab Voices and other programs on the air. Please make that call and make a pledge of any amount, whether it's $60 or $360. Call 713-526-5738 or make a pledge online at kpft.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. As a listener-supported station, we rely on your generosity to continue providing commercial-free, thought-provoking programming. Your donation today is an investment in the future of accessible, inclusive media for everyone. With your help, we can amplify marginalized voices, promote civic engagement, and celebrate the rich tapestry of our community. Help us preserve the heartbeat of our community. Your donation is not just a gift, it's a statement that you value independent media, local storytelling, and the power of connection through the airwaves. If you enjoy the variety of shows this Houston's community station 90.1 FM KPFT brings you, but aren't yet a member, please join us right now and become a member. It's people just like you that make all this possible. Call now to pledge your support, 713-526-5738, or give online at kpft.org. Imagine a world where every voice is heard, every story matters, and every tune resonates. Your support makes this vision a reality on KPFT. Together, let's keep the spirit of community broadcasting alive. We are not just asking for donations. We are inviting you to be a part of something bigger. Your contribution fuels our mission to inform, educate, and entertain our community. Together, we are the voice of unity and diversity. 713-526-5738 or donate online at kpft.org. Supporting KPFT isn't just about keeping the music alive. It's about preserving a space where ideas flourish, voices unite, and conversations thrive. Your donation today is an investment in the heartbeat of our community. 713-526-5738 is the number to call right now and pledge your support or make a donation online at kpft.org. Thank you very much. The ongoing ethnic cleansing, slaughter, and genocide against the Palestinians continue to worsen every minute, nonstop, by apartheid Israel, while at the same time escalating its attacks and destruction of Lebanon. Let's listen to the latest Electronic Intifada newscast, a summary of the latest developments in Gaza and Lebanon from over the past few days, summarized by Noura Barros-Friedman.
This is the Electronic Intifada newscast. I'm Noura Barros-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 383 of Israel's genocide in Gaza as the war on Lebanon expands. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments in Gaza and Lebanon. In Gaza last Thursday, Israeli forces killed Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar while he was on the front lines defending Rafah in the south. In an announcement delivered by Khalil al-Hayya, head of Hamas in Gaza, the resistance group said that Sinwar, quote, dedicated his life for Palestine and sacrificed his soul for the sake of God on the path to its liberation. Our senior editor Maureen Claire Murphy writes that Israeli propagandists may have thought that publishing photos and videos of Sinwar's last moments and his lifeless body would instill feelings of defeat and humiliation among supporters of the Palestinian resistance. The images have instead had the opposite effect and will only cement his already legendary status. They show that Sinwar died in combat like a rank-and-file fighter in perhaps not his first direct engagement with Israeli troops, rather than accepting exile or being killed in retreat. Meanwhile, Israel is continuing to systematically destroy the northern Gaza Strip, carrying out ethnic extermination campaigns and forced mass expulsion. For nearly 3 weeks, Israel has blocked food, water, medicine, and fuel from reaching the areas north of Gaza City, as the remaining reporters and health workers there describe scenes of catastrophic horror. On Saturday, images and video emerged of what journalists have described as a death march around the Indonesian hospital in Beit Lahia. Reporter Hossam Shabat stated that Israeli occupation forces dug a, quote, deep hole in one of the squares surrounding the Indonesian hospital and placed male Palestinians in it with their hands tied and their eyes blindfolded. Shabat had reported that in the days leading up to this death march, the hospital had been surrounded by tanks as Israeli soldiers cut the electricity, bombed the building, and targeted the second and third floors with artillery shells. In the Jabalia refugee camp, Israeli forces forced families to leave their homes and attacked a school turned into a shelter on Monday. Hossam Shabat reported that they, quote, lined people up and shot anyone who dared to move. Any male over the age of 16 is being detained, tortured, and investigated. Many people who are being lined up are sick individuals, such as amputees, cancer patients, and young kids who are being asked to stand in line for hours. The situation is catastrophic, he said. Novelist Ahmed Massoud, who has been on this live stream before and has family in Jabalia and Beit Lahia, tweeted on Tuesday that his relatives have been separated from each other by gender, with Israeli soldiers detaining the men. He added that he has had no contact with his family members since. On Tuesday, reporter Anas Al-Sharif stated that Israeli drones with loudspeakers ordered more than 10,000 displaced Palestinians to leave a school shelter in Beit Lahia and would be bombed or shot if they refused. These mass expulsions come on the heels of relentless massacres across northern Gaza. Along with the Indonesian hospital, Al-Auda Hospital was also directly hit in Israeli attacks on Friday. And on Tuesday, the acting director of Al-Auda stated that Israeli forces were again besieging the hospital. Also on Tuesday, Dr. Hossam Abu Safia, the director of Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia, issued a distress call saying that Israeli forces had bombed the gate of the hospital and that quadcopter drones were dropping bombs. The upper floors of the hospital were being shot at and that all services had collapsed, he said. Quote, there are no blood units or tubes to drain bleeding from the chest, and most of the medical supplies are not available. He added that people who evacuated were shot on the way out of the hospital. Dr. Abu Safia warned, quote, Kamal Adwan Hospital will turn into mass graves. In a statement on Tuesday, Munir Al-Bursh, the director of the health ministry in Gaza, who is currently in the north, said that hospitals, quote, have run out of coffins to prepare the dead, and we have asked people to donate any fabric they have at home. Palestinian health officials and civil emergency corps say that dozens of bodies of people killed by Israeli fire remain scattered on roads and under rubble, with rescue teams unable to reach them. The United Nations says that on Thursday, Israel bombed a UN school in Jabalia refugee camp hosting displaced people, killing at least 28 Palestinians and wounding 160. Early Saturday morning, Israel bombed several houses in Jabalia, killing at least 33 and injuring dozens more. Later on Saturday, dozens of people were killed in Beit Lahia as Israeli warplanes razed entire residential blocks, Maureen writes. The Gaza Health Ministry reported that at least 87 people were killed and people were trapped under the rubble. Three prominent Palestinian human rights groups, Al-Haq, Al-Mizan, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, said this week that civilians in northern Gaza are, quote, being punished for continuing to refuse to follow Israel's unlawful forcible displacement orders. With no safe place to go, Palestinians in Gaza's north are fearful that if they flee, they will never be able to return, Maureen adds. Journalist Hossam Shabbat reported that Israel has, quote, rigged residential zones with explosives. Israeli soldiers, he says, are setting explosive barrels at night and detonating them during the day, resulting in devastating destruction and death. They are moving closer to densely populated areas where residents are unable to flee due to surveillance by quadcopters that target anyone who attempts to move. Israel's goal is to destroy every building in the Jabalia refugee camp and kill its residents in order to annex the land. And amid the total closure of northern Gaza to any food, medicine, or water, Israeli forces killed six Palestinian men when they tried to access drinking water in Jabalia camp on Monday, according to Al Jazeera. But Israel also killed workers on their way to repair a water line in the south in Khan Yunus. The international aid group Oxfam stated on Monday that Israel bombed a clearly marked vehicle belonging to engineers and workers from the Huza municipality in coordination with Oxfam's partners at the coastal municipality's water utility. The four men were killed on their way to conduct repairs to water infrastructure in Huza, east of Khan Yunus, and their movements had been coordinated with the Israeli military beforehand. The government media office in Gaza says Israeli forces have prevented the entry of, quote, more than a quarter of a million trucks of aid and goods since the war began last year, adding that it was part of Israel's strategy of, quote, reinforcing the starvation policy and using it as a weapon of war against civilians and against children, especially by preventing the entry of food, baby milk, and nutritional supplements. Capitulating to Israel's severe restrictions or outright preventions of aid deliveries by land into Gaza as people starve, international aid-dropped parcels have somewhat resumed. One of those parcels killed a three-year-old boy, Sami Ayad, in the southern city of Khan Yunus on Saturday, according to his relatives and reported by CNN. Quote, the family was eating breakfast when pallets dropped from airplanes and careened toward the displacement area, the grandfather of the boy, who's also named Sami Ayad, told CNN. Several family members attempted to take cover inside their improvised tents, but the falling parcel killed the three-year-old instantly, Ayad recalled. Sami's aunt and cousin were also wounded on their foot and face, respectively, Ayad added. I was sitting here with the boy, and the moment I left him, the package fell on him, Ayad said. There was only a second between me and him. I carried him and started running. We have no hospitals. I ran like crazy, but the boy died instantly. I couldn't save him. Blood started coming out of his nose and mouth, he added. Our contributor Yusuf Al-Jamal said on Monday that a young man he interviewed for a story we just published on the Electronic Intifada was killed. Yusuf Abu Rabi, a farmer and food provider, was killed Monday in a drone strike near his plant nursery after he was delivering fresh produce to people in Beit Lahia. In the days before he was killed, Yusuf Al-Jamal writes, Abu Rabi posted a short video on his Instagram account documenting him and another person ducking for cover on a narrow street. They had come under fire while distributing parcels of food in bright blue plastic bags, the gunshots audible in the video. Writer, chef, and journalist Leila El Haddad stated that, quote, Israel assassinated farmer Yusuf Abu Rabi and his two colleagues today as they were delivering seedlings to his neighbors in the north. He was a true hero, resisting genocide in impossible circumstances. In a recent video, Abu Rabi highlights the resilience and determination of the people in the north. I'll let the video play and then translate afterwards.
بقول لك بدنا نرجع من اول وجديد حنعمره ان شاء الله بنعمره وبنسرح باذن الله.
He says, the people who are here, they're truly great and resilient. Without exaggeration, they are. In spite of all this destruction, people are still insisting on staying, planting, and wanting to rebuild again. In his feature that we just published, Yusuf El Jamal, who interviewed Abu Rabi at length about his agricultural project in northern Gaza, writes, quote, that Palestinian farmers were even able to plant during a genocide is a marvel, and the loss of any food producer is devastating to society as a whole, while Israel uses starvation as a weapon of war. The killing of a young farmer like Abu Rabi, who provided a lifeline to his community, leaves other Palestinians in Gaza's north, where almost no food has been allowed in since the beginning of the month, much more vulnerable. Meanwhile, Michael Fakhri, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food, admonished members of the so-called international community this week in a UN hearing. He said, quote, 1 year ago, I stood before you and told you that food is increasingly used as a weapon against civilians. Exactly 1 year ago, I, amongst other mandate holders, raised the alarm for the risk of genocide against the Palestinian people. Unfortunately, you did not take sufficient action. And as my colleagues and I predicted, Israel's war proved to be a genocidal campaign against the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people have faced genocide for a year with no